Live and local. Mornings with Todd Sargent. For our sponsor, Harvey Norman Computers, Rutherford and Bennett's Green.
And I'm just imagining Greg Rust, Rusty sitting there in Darwin this morning in a pair of stubbies, a V8 supercar t-shirt and a little bit of zinc cream on his nose. Mate, how's the temperature in Darwin this morning?
A visual that your listeners can do without. it's beautiful here, Todd, as always. I look outside, beautiful blue skies. We've already been up here for about 24 hours doing some stories and bits and pieces with the reigning champion, actually, with Mark Winterbottom yesterday. And the place is one of the favourite stops on the tour because there's the racing, obviously, and a huge portion of people from the Northern Territory and from Darwin in particular come out to Hidden Valley over the 3 days. But also, too, we love coming here because there's a variety of other things beyond the racing that we take in, we enjoy while we're here.
Yeah, there's a few things to enjoy in the tropical north. Hey, before we look at this weekend's round, we're talking about flat packs this morning. In the Rust household, I'm waging a one-man war on flat packs. I've decided that's it. I'm mad as hell and I can't take it anymore. How are you with the old some assembly required?
My wife's first comment to me when I open any of those things is stop, slow down, read the instructions. Being a typical bloke, I just want to launch in and try and do it. But I always get nervous about, you know, some leftover screws at the end of it or something along those lines. Have I missed something? So flat packs and I don't necessarily agree.
You know what you need to do? Go down to the garage and say to the guys from the V8 supercars, guys, do you ever find you've got anything left over when you put the cars together? One and two, is it a problem?
Yeah, that would be a worry, particularly like the last round of the championship when Rick Kelly had a clutch issue. Imagine changing the clutch, putting it all back together and realising, oh, what's this spare bulb? What's that from? That wouldn't be good.
I'd just throw it in the bin. What the people don't see, they don't worry about.
You can't do that in the world of motor racing.
No, you certainly can't. So Darwin is the place. How's it looking this weekend?
It's going to be fantastic. I mean, as you know, we've talked about it on the program a couple of times. 9 different winners from 11 races so far. Really cool last time out at Winton that Tim Slade, who had been battling away for quite a long period of time and many thought he was just going to be a journeyman, that he wouldn't get his moment in the sun. Not only did he get a breakthrough win on the Saturday, yeah, and that's for the then local team down there in Brad Jones Racing, but he backed it up to win on the Sunday and silenced a lot of critics in the process.
And it's great, isn't it? Because often in some forms of motor racing, you get to a point where you go, we know who's going to win. I think Formula One is suffering with that at the moment. But the V8 supercars, well and truly, it's like, okay, running around with a lottery barrel. Who's the winner this weekend?
Well, it's very, you know, difficult to sort of compare yourself against the likes of Formula One and MotoGP. But, I mean, if you crunched just the numbers and looked at the variety, we've absolutely smashed it by comparison to Formula One this year. The variety of winners we've had, the fact that, you know, you've still got the likes of a Chas Mostert, a Fabian Coulthard, who haven't won yet, but could very well join that winners list. They are absolute candidates for that. So the number of winners for the year could absolutely keep on growing.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? And the thing is, it makes it hard on you, because I would imagine if you got asked this question once a weekend, you'd get asked 100 times, hey, Rusty, who do you think's going to win?
I am the world's worst tipster. And so when people like you come on and say, hey, mate, who's the favourite? I mean, it is honestly so difficult at the moment. We're obviously getting to the point in the year where, you know, the key guys have had a win, so the top of the pyramid is starting to become a little bit clearer. But everyone is saying the same thing. The most competitive start to a championship ever.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Absolutely, yeah. And the unpredictability of it is terrific. When you watch any sport, any code, and you know that the players have had to go that little bit extra, that little bit further, because the game has stepped up a level, and that, you know you're in for a good season.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, before I let you go back to sunning yourself in tropical far north Northern Territory, it's still making a bit of hubbub around Newcastle. A couple of rounds ago, the Perth Super Sprint, and unfortunately for our local lad, Aaron Russell and the Winterbottom affair. How did you see that when that was happening?
Look, to be honest with you, I think Aaron's a racer, and he quite rightly decided to hold his own. I mean, you've got to look at the entire set of circumstances. Firstly, Frosty was on a mission. He's trying to win his first race of the year. He was able to fortunately tick that box, and he's doing very well in the championship at the moment in the title defence. Aaron, you know, under the rules, has the ability to prevent or to unlap himself in that set of circumstances. he was in a position where he could do that. I think he had slightly fresher tyres underneath him. Hardened critics of the game will say, you know, get out of the way, you shouldn't have been doing that. But I reckon if you put those blokes in exactly the same situation and saw what they would do, they would probably try the same approach that Aaron Russell did. So it's difficult. Obviously, if I think it would have been worse, to be fair, if there'd been contact or there'd been something go wrong that impacted on the result for Frosty. That didn't happen, so you've got to give credit to Aaron for that. And I think the pair of them have spoken since then. I don't think it was anything you know, too feisty as such. I think Frosty probably would have liked him to move out of the way sooner, but by the same token, I reckon if you rewound the clock to 2003 when, you know, Frosty was coming up through the Dunlop series and getting involved in the main game, he probably would have done the same thing.
That's what happens when you've got races. Rusty, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Cheers. Nice to catch up.
2NURFM 103.7.